Like anybody would visit their daughter, you know. But anywho, so you're stuck with me again. I want you all to know that I am wearing my new shoes. Sparky was supposed to fix the camera to where you could see them, but she has failed again. I mean, she knows how to do this stuff because she's had me on my side. She's even had me invisible, and where all I was there was little colored bars, and you could hear my voice, but you couldn't see my body. So I know she's able to do this, but she didn't do it this morning. Today's lesson is going to be a short one. Now, I know I've said that before, and it didn't work out that way, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be a short one. And the subject is the heart of man. And you might say, how can this be a short message on the heart of man? Well, it's going to be a very basic message. First of all, what is a heart? It's basically, if you talk to somebody medical or things like that, it's a pump that pumps blood in your body. And it has no emotional abilities or anything like that. It's a mechanical device that the Lord has created to keep you alive. Now, you all have heard me talk about my wife, Connie. She doesn't have her whistle this morning, so a few years ago, she had this procedure called a Forepool bypass. Now, don't be concerned if you don't know these medical terms, because I'll try to explain them. And what that is they take a vein from someplace else in your body and they put it on your heart, so where it's clogged up and stuff, it goes around it. It bypasses the bad part. Anyway, she had a Forepool bypass. Recently, they had done some tests on her, and they said, well, there appears to be some blockage, maybe. So we're going to do this thing, a heart cath, which means they're going to run a thing into you, and it goes to your heart, and they can check and see where there's any blockage, if there is any. And then, if there is, they put a thing called a stent, which is basically a expanding thing, which opens stuff up. Anyway, they got in there and they looked, and they said, well, the Widowmaker, that's the most important one. Now, Connie's a saved woman. She trusts in the Lord. And the Widowmaker, the most important one, was flowing free. The next most important one is the one that she'd been having trouble with. She didn't know. I didn't know. We didn't know. And they put a stent in it. And they said the other two, the in-between ones, were completely clogged, completely rejected, not working. But this heart that the Lord designed, the Lord made, it says, well, we're going to bypass this, and we're going to make our own veins and stuff and arteries to do the work that these were supposed to do but didn't. So she's got one super good artery, two probably super good arteries, and one expanded artery on her heart. So she's doing well, and we thank the Lord for that. And what's that got to do with a Sunday school lesson? Well, you know, people say a lot of things, you know, about the heart. And you know, people say they love you with all their heart. And you wonder why they say that. because, you know, the heart is just an organ. And people say, well, it's the most important organ. And it is an important organ. I mean, if you're shopping over at Walmart or something like that and your heart falls out and flops around on the floor, you're going to be dead. But let's go the other way. If you're over there shopping at Walmart and your liver falls out, sooner or later you're going to be dead, probably sooner than later. So is the liver the most important organ in the body? No, and we could say the same thing about other things in your body. Without it, you know, you're going to die. So I don't say to Connie, I love you with all my heart. I tell her, I love her so much. Now, how much is so much? Well, I don't know, because I ain't got there yet. But when I do, I'll let you know. And she says the same thing to me. And I just hope she means it, because I get scared sometimes. That's why she has a whistle, she to let me know I need to shut up or something like that. But anywho, also, I think we would have trouble if I told her I love you with all my liver. It won't work. Now we're coming up on a day that people call a holiday. Valentine's Day, and all these pseudo-religious holidays are a bunch of garbage. Ignore them. And they have what they call these heart-shaped, they come in a little box. They're about 2.5 inches square and maybe half, three-quarters of an inch thick, and they got these little heart-shaped things in them, you know, like that. That's not really the shape of the heart. You ever seen a heart? It doesn't really have a shape. It's just, you know, all over the place. And they say really romantic things on them, like, be mine. I have never said to Connie, and you know how much I love her. I love her so much. I had never said to her, be mine. It's crazy. But what has that got to do with the heart? Well, it just shows you, you know, people take things and they bend them and they stretch them and everything like that. And these holidays that they have, they are to be ignored or taught against, depending on how you look at it. Anyway, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And here I am sitting at Jeremiah chapter 7. Don't turn to Jeremiah chapter 7 because that's not where we're going to. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Now remember, people go around and say, oh, I love you with all my heart. And verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what you're saying then is, I love you with all my deceit and desperately wicked organ in my body. That's not what I want to hear. If somebody wants to tell me that, hey, have a great affection to me, I don't want to hear that. I know my brothers and sisters here, they love me in the Lord, and it doesn't get any better than that. Why can't we just say that? I love you in the Lord. What is love? Well, if you love somebody, that means that their well-being is more important than your own. That their well-being is more important than lemon meringue pie. And I love lemon meringue pie. But I love my brothers and sisters more. And if you love somebody, then their well-being is more important to you, maybe including up to your own life. We have in the Bible stories of our brothers and sisters in that day that gave up their life for other people. People they didn't even know, to preach to them the Word of God. And, you know, that's in the Old Testament. That don't count for anything, right? That's what a lot of people say. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. It says about the Lord here, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We are to love the Lord with everything that's in it. Now, what is it talking about the heart here? Is it talking about the pumpy thing or anything like that? No. It's talking about your physical being. Your physical being. Your physical being is desperately wicked. Until you come to know the Lord, we still have a lot of wickedness in us. You know, we're going to until the Lord takes us home. But we have other religious holidays and things like that. We have St. Swithin's Day. It's December the 25th. And I call it St. Swithin's Day because I don't want to tarnish my Lord's name with Christmas. And people say, well, that's where we celebrate the Lord Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And how do we celebrate Jesus? We make him a helpless little baby and we lay him in a manger. People go so far to say he was born in a manger. And that, he never was born in a manger. It's silly. People want to believe that he's helpless. He needs our help. Without our help, he created all things. Everything you can see. And things that you can't see, he created. How did he create them? He sat there and he worked real hard. He got in his workshop and he said, let there be. And it was. He doesn't need our help in anything. But people love Jesus with all their heart. Physical being, their physical being. They don't. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. We're few in number. We have this is our little church in the community. It's a Sovereign Grace Baptist. And we're here in a community here, and nobody from the community is here. We called a pastor from Virginia. Now he's from Kentucky. We have some members that are members from also Virginia. And recently we got some members from relatively local. I mean, Brother Doug Newell, he's going to be the normal Sunday school teacher. And a sister that's way up north, she can't come. If she could, she'd be here. But the people local that love the Lord with all their heart can't show up here. It's heartbreaking. Anyway, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Pages are so sticky. I guess I've used my Bible in with dirty hands too much. Anyway, what are we supposed to do, those of us that know the Lord? We are to tell others. Present the gospel to them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, let me back up a page here. Says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Again, you know, the Old Testament thingy, right? Well, that's what Mark said. I mean, well, it wasn't Mark. It was the Lord Jesus that said that. And if you, I don't know if you got one of them red-letter editions. I have a red-letter edition. These were the words of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that the words in red are more important. The entire Bible is inspired by God. They are His words that He wanted these men to write down. "But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Now, this is presuming something, isn't it? That He is your Lord and He is your God. Now, He is your God whether you want Him to be or not. And He is your Lord. There's coming a time when every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. You know that the heart is desperately wicked, right? What does this say? "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you and heart of flesh." So those of us that love the Lord, there's coming a time. Now this is, he was talking to the Jews here. But this applies to us too. We're going to receive a new heart when we get our glorified bodies. Now what kind of heart is this talking about? Well, it's going to be a glorious heart. I don't know how else to explain it. We're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to be in the very presence of God, and we'll be able to see Him in all His glory. going to take away the stony heart. And when you say, I love you with all my heart, then it's going to mean something. It's going to mean something. And who are we going to be saying that to? The Lord. We're going to praise his name forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever and ever. And you can keep going on as long as you want. You still haven't reached the end of it. So, you know, we don't understand eternity. And I've said this many a time, you know. We can't wrap our minds around what eternity is. We know that God is eternal. What does that mean? It means that he has no beginning. God has always been. And he always will be. Now, I don't know how else to describe it. Let's say you get on an airplane and you start flying from here, you know, South Shore International Airport. You take off and you go on around the world. Now, by the way, we have people that know things, but you know things in your heart. You know, just, you know, people knew in their heart for many, many, many years that the earth was flat. And there are some that are teaching it today. Wrap your head around that one. But you get on in this plane, and like I said, and you take off from South Shore International Airport, you're flying, and you're going around the world, and then you come back to South Shore International Airport, and you keep flying, and you keep flying, and you keep, and it never ends. Well, first thing is, you're going to have a really big gas bill, because they're going to have to keep refueling your airplane and all that, but it never ends. And our time with the Lord is going to be endless. First Peter, chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Now, this goes on to another, you know, how can we do anything about this? This desperately wicked heart. And it says, seeing you have purified your souls, wow, you know, salvation is of the Lord, right? What have we got to do with it? Nothing. But we have obeyed the Lord. It says here, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. This is the gospel. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He revealed to us that we're sinners, that we're without hope. We have a desperately wicked heart. But it says here, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obey the gospel through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Real love. Now, it's not perfect. Not yet. We're not going to have anything perfect other than our salvation until we go to be with the Lord. But unfeigned, yet you can trust it. Unfeigned love of the brethren. And then it says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, we've read a lot of things about the heart. Deceitful. How we are to love the Lord, we are to love him with all our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. And now it says here, we love one another with a pure heart fervently. A pure heart. Can we have a pure heart in this life? It says here that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, our heart is not going to be pure, but it's as pure as it can be until we receive our glorified body. And I've mentioned our glorified body two or three times here this morning. But we need to understand what our future is going to be like. We have no inkling. I know the Bible says things about it. But I don't believe we have any clue about what it's going to be like. I mean, you look at God's creation and some of these places that you can go to. I used to love to go to Colorado. We went there to hunt from time to time. And there it was beautiful. But, you know, you come back to, well, southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, around here. It's beautiful. You got the hills, and you got the bottoms around the rivers, and lots of lakes around. It's beautiful here, too. Wherever you're at, you need to see the beauty that God has placed there. You know, we need to understand that no matter where we're at in this life, it's never going to come close to what we're going to see when we go to be with the Lord. You know, I can't explain it to you. I just know that it's going to be wonderful. And what does that word mean? I mean, we studied a little bit about what the heart means and everything. Well, what's wonderful mean? What it says, full of wonder. Out in Colorado, you see the big mountains. And you're full of wonder. And you come back here and you see the hills and the valleys and the rivers. And you're full of wonder. All of God's creation should be like that. Anyway, we're coming to the end here, and you got about 10 minutes early. So it was a short lesson, wasn't it? Ha ha! Anyway, remember, the heart is desperately wicked, but we can serve the Lord and love one another with a pure heart, fervently, as well. So we need to protect it. We need to do the things that are pleasing to God. We need to follow and obey His commandments. Anyway, that's it for this morning. I don't know if the pastor's going to go right ahead as usual, but if he does, in about 5 minutes, he's going to have a great, long message this morning. I've seen it, but I'm imagining that he is going to break it up into more than one message. So anyway, we'll find out here just in a minute.